welcome to Montessori Mom. It is a Tuesday night in my time. I'm a little hopped up on ice cream, which actually it's frozen custard, chocolate frozen custard. That's what I've been into these days. And I would suggest it, but I don't want you to get addicted. So, I mean, I'll tell you about it, but I'm not going to say go try it because it's definitely so addictive because it's so good. Yeah, so just think about ice cream, but it's not as cold. So it's like easier to eat. So you eat more of it and doesn't hurt your teeth. And it's smoother and creamier and a lot easier to mix with goodies like nuts and fudge and, you know, the stuff that they put in shakes like Oreos, except for it's not crushed Oreos. It's like huge pieces of Oreos. And yeah, it's so good. So good. And that's been my bed night snack lately. If you don't know what a bed night snack is, it's a term I made up when I was six because I always got hungry before bed. So it was like what you eat right before bed. It has to be at night and late and after dinner. So yeah, bed night snack. Also, it's late and my house is silent. Everybody's asleep. Even my husband's asleep. And this is the time when I feel like I thrive because I can do anything and nobody's going to be in the way and I can think whatever thoughts I want and nobody's going to interrupt them as long as I don't get on my phone. And it's just the best. I've always been a night owl and I love these nights when I'm the only one awake. I feel like I can think and have clarity or completely rest. You know, like I don't have to be aware of anybody else or their needs. And I mean, you know, husbands are nice and it's not like he's a child or anything like a child, but you know, that's all somebody that you have to be aware of and still be cognizant and respectful of and like thinking about, you know, your interactions and your time together, because if you're in the same house, you're sharing that time also. So when everybody's asleep, it's amazing for me. I used to think I was a super extrovert, but now I think I'm pretty equal. I think I need just as much time completely alone as I need with other people. And I both need those really bad. Like they're both super necessary for me. It seems kind of split in half for my personality. So I'm taking this opportunity while I've been doing some deep thinking and taking this opportunity to get back to the podcast. I've taken a couple month break. It's been a crazy summer with health issues and trips and time off, you know, extra doula clients. I'm a doula, so It's been wild, and we've started the fall semester, so I feel like, we homeschool, but, you know, that gets the entire culture back into a set schedule, at least the culture of families, like people who have kids. You just get back into a schedule with all the things happening. At least with us, it's mainly church stuff happening, because it's like a big break in the summer, and then it's just kind of like a school semester. There's lots of stuff going on between August and early November, early December. And then, you know, it's like winter break and take a month off. And then you go back for 4 or 5 months and do a lot of stuff. And then there's like summer break. So my husband works for the church. So that's part of the reason we try to serve together as a family. So if there's like a big night, we try to all go and be a part of it. Also, we have children's catechesis starting up, religious education, CCD, whatever you might call it. And that's kind of brings me to what I've been thinking about tonight, is that we do catechesis of the Good Shepherd at our church. And I lead an atrium, which is the room or the environment, like just like a Montessori environment, casa, like Montessori's casas or her classrooms. It's called an atrium. It's the environment of religious education that's Montessori style. We've had our fourth session tonight, so we've been doing it for 4 weeks. I really enjoy it. It really feeds me, especially the more experience I get. You know, as with anything, the better you do it, the more you enjoy it, especially if you started it because you thought you would enjoy it. Of course, there's always hard, stressful, anxious times, but once you really start learning things and hit your groove, then it starts becoming so much more enjoyable. I think this year is going to really be that for me. But I was thinking about how I feel like at home lately, I've just, in general, lost it with the kids, lost all patience, just have been a huge bear all the time. But during Atrium, it's an hour and a half with 12 kids under six, in one room with, it's a Montessori, so there's lots of things because, yeah. So it's a lot, but it's an hour and a half and I can do it and I can speak the way respectfully and the way I should towards all children, not just other kids. Like I should be able to speak that way to my kids, but I can do that. I can do everything correctly and treat everybody respectful and say the right thing, say the right Montessori things, no less. And trying to you don't say any negatives. You say, which I don't mean like, you can't say, it doesn't mean you can't say no, but instead of, hey, you need to pick up your stuff, it's, you just notice things for them. And then if you've already done a presentation on how they should handle it, then they know what to do. Like, oh, I see that your work is still out. And then, they know that they should put it away. So they go work on it. They go work on putting it away usually, for the most part. Of course, some kids have a little bit harder time stepping into the atmosphere, but after a month or two, they usually all get into the groove of that. But these are my thoughts, is that I can do that for that hour and a half, and I lead two of them back to back. So we're at church for 5 hours. So for three of those hours, I am with children and small children and helping them do these things and doing feeling like I'm being very respectful towards them and everything's going well. And so my angst is that why can't I do that at home? Why have I lost that? I used to be a lot better about it at home. And it seems like the past year I've just really, really fallen by the wayside with it and haven't been able to of course I know that I'm doing it, but I haven't been able to get it back. So I've been thinking tonight, how can I do that? How can I backtrack or reset and figure out how I cannot blow up on my kids? And I know you can make all the excuses for yourself. And of course it's crazy. That's a no brainer. We have five children, seven and under. Yeah. And four of them are boys and they're rowdy and yeah, it can get wild and all their different personalities and some are tougher than others. Of course, there's plenty of excuses, but I used to be able to do it and I know that it can be done. And I know that there are plenty of Montessori classrooms all across the world that there's one guide. They call them guides, not teachers, because the environment is the teacher. The environment and the child are the teacher. They're teaching themselves with the materials. There's one guide. There can be one guide for 30 kids and it worked well. So I know that I can, I could be able to handle it with five kids and I've just got to figure out how. And I used to do it a lot better. So I've been thinking about ideas of how to do that. I don't know. Maybe I just need to pretend that my house is a Montessori classroom and we're always in this, this is our environment. Pretend they're it's a class and they're not my kids, and which that would be hard. I don't think I can do that. That would definitely help because you always treat your own children different than other kids. Yeah. So I'm thinking that either I can do that, just pretend we're in a Montessori classroom all day at least until my husband gets home. And that would be 5 days a week from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. He works lots of odd hours. So, you know, in general, that would be 40 hours a week that I potentially could treat my kids very respectfully and not yell at them and help them learn how to treat others respectfully by how I treat them. That's one theory. Getting up early is always great, but I just haven't like been able to do that lately. I've just been so dog tired and I haven't been sleeping well, and maybe having five kids is, and being 32 is catching up with me. I'm really feeling my age, which I didn't think that I would feel this way at 32. What the heck? Like, I didn't think that you got old this fast. I was thinking 45 was old, and like that's when things really start going downhill physically. Not 30. But that's kind of the reality right now. And sleep is not always possible. I mean, I was up all last night with a kid that was throwing up. And I thank the Lord that it was only one and not five of them, because I have been there before. And that's a very real reality. I'm so thankful it was just one. Like, one was doable, but I was still dog tired in the morning. I don't know how much sleep I got, but it was not enough. I was like dead in the morning. But I made it through the day, so it's been a long day. Yeah, so getting up early is great when it's possible, but I have learned a long time ago that you can't depend on having sleep and having that energy. Like, if you have that, you don't have to put forth near as much effort in planning or anything, because you're just on top of it because you're filled up. Like, sleep matters so much. The reality is it's so hard to get as a parent of young children, especially a mom of young children, if you're the one that gets up and the men just don't know what to do in the middle of the night with a kid for some reason. It's also not possible if you are like me and you thrive when everybody else is asleep and also at night. I've never been a morning person. I've always been a night person. It's like I wake up again at 9 p.m. but only if everybody else is like asleep and not around. I don't know why. It's so refreshing for me. It's for some reason just feeds me. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's a solution is giving everybody sleeping pills at 7 p.m., including slipping my husband and Mickey. And then I could have 2 hours to myself and 2 or 3 hours and still go to bed at a decent hour and still get sleep. That'd be great. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. That's where we are. So I'm thinking that that's like my next thing. It's just pretending that we're at a Montessori school. Maybe that'll help. My husband was also saying like it's hard if with the baby getting into everything, which is so true. Like, it makes it so much harder. Like, it puts so much more stress on everything. So I think maybe like putting on the schedule, working on our schoolroom and getting things more baby proofed is definitely going to be a plus. So that's going to be on the schedule for our chore day, because they're basically kind of falling down. And that's why a lot of stuff is, cabinets are unlocked and things. And I mean, the baby's just climbing everywhere. Like, she can pick up a chair and take it to the edge of the counter and climb up and get to the top counters and open them up and throw things out. We're going to have to figure out a solution for that. But maybe getting a playpen out and just saying no. And if you're going to do this, like, you stay in the playpen. And just start teaching her that way. Yeah, maybe I'll have to do that. Hopefully she can't climb out of the playpen. Okay, so that's another thing on the list. So three things to work on to try to get this going. Because I already know. You can always learn more, but I've read so many of the Montessori books and know the philosophy and what I should be saying and doing, and reading would always help. I just, yeah, have a hard time reading these days. I just feel like my brain is more fried, probably from the years of lack of sleep. But so that's my spiel for now, and that's where I'm at as a parent and a mother with this whole Montessori thing. And these are the steps I'm going to take to try to keep putting the next foot forward. I know I've said on a podcast before, like, you just do baby steps of what you can do. Sometimes you have a month or two of chaos and you're, you know, you just have to hang with what you have at the moment and wait until some opportunity that inspires you. I think that having, you know, the changes in schedules and doing less sometimes and doing more sometimes, like, really helps you grow. And the resting times helps you hone what you really think is important, or, you know, really dust off the shelves in your life, whether that's with relationships or they're literally at home, like with projects that have been bothering you. That really energizes me. Actually, like, getting big stuff done on the house that, like, you see it every day, especially, like, I homeschool, so we're all at home every day and I see it all day long, and that's just bothering me in the back of my head, like, that needs to get done, that needs to get done. So we did that at the beginning of the summer, and we took a month off and did a lot of that stuff, so that really helped. And, you know, I've got things planned for, there's always something on to do for the future. I would say that, oh yeah, a lot of times we make ourselves busy, which is true. But if you don't have plans for the future, like, if you're not trying to grow or have goals, then that seems kind of unhealthy to me, that you don't have those hopes of, like, joy, like, things that would bring you joy. Yeah, because not that we necessarily need them per se, but they bring us joy. Like, my next big thing is putting a garden on. We have this strip of grass on the right side of our driveway that's, like, maybe 10 foot before a big retaining wall. So, like, it's not a place that we ever do anything with. We always play in the yard that's bigger, that isn't next to a 16 foot drop off. So that's my next thing, is, like, we just had to replace that wall. And so, like, all next to it is dirt now. So it's been dug up for me, and I ordered some plants, and I'm about to just do it. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. Maybe I'll do it in the dark one night when the husband and all the kids are asleep. Anyways, thanks for listening to my ramblings. I hope that this helps anybody that's listening. Honestly, it's purely selfish. I do this to help give me motivation. Podcasting and you guys' responses is, like, my community in this. I do know, like, one or two homeschooling families around here. Actually, I know two well that homeschool, but one of them has kids a lot older than mine, so they're not exactly in the same place. And the other family is, there are a lot of girls, which honestly I think is a different way of homeschooling if you have all boys versus all girls. I mean, we finally have one girl, but she's a year now, not that. And no, I know nobody that's trying to do, like, Montessori stuff homeschooling. So I feel like I'm on an island and figuring this out by myself. I even know, like, other, like, there's a Catholic Montessori school about 20 minutes away. Even a lot of those moms that do homeschooling, or even send some of their kids to this Montessori school and homeschool the rest, they've all said, like, they've never been able to do it successfully at home. It's a big challenge. And I think because when you do it at home, it attacks your entire life. It's not just 5 hours a day or 6 hours a day of school or more. Some people, like, it depends on how old the child is as to how long they go to school. And it's not just that time of the day. It's all day long, 7 days a week, all year long. Yeah, so it's a much bigger challenge to our own virtue and character. It really, really causes, like, makes you have to be so organized that you feel like you're in a religious order or, like, in a convent. And it's, like, really it has to be that disciplined. But that type of discipline is, like, saintly discipline. It's the highest discipline to have that constantly. Like, it's easy to, like, go to work and do your work thing for 8 hours and then, like, have to, like, be super clean there and then come home and be a slob. Like, that works for a lot of people. Like, you can separate that. But yeah, to have that discipline, to have to do it all the time. And then also having that relationship with your husband and have that work also, because, you know, that's the temptation if two, like, they're gone at work all day and they just want to come home and, like, be relaxed and not have to stay on top of the kids picking up their stuff or whatever. Maybe they're not that disciplined at home, but they are very disciplined at work. And yeah, it's a dynamic. It's a lifestyle. And yeah, that's why I'm doing it, because I feel like it's calling all of us to this highest virtue we could. And for some reason, I have to do everything very hardcore, or I don't feel like it's worth it at all. Yeah. So thank you for listening. And I hope that you've enjoyed this, learned a little bit about Montessori and how we try to Montessori at home. Have a good, well, for me, it's like past 11. So have a good night.